Genesis chapter 1. This is not really a regular kind of message. It's going to be short, too. I want to talk a little bit about where we've been and where we'd like to go, or at least in my mind, what I see in my heart. Let me say, I appreciate every one of you. We are what we are because you are here. If you weren't here, we'd be different. I mean, you've experienced it. People have come. It's different. People have left. It's different. And it is different. No way of getting around it. But I am glad that every one of you are here. And I've been here for a while. Came in 2018, May of 2018, out of college. But I've been your assistant pastor beginning in August 11th, 2024, almost a year and 4 months ago. And in a couple of days, the 8th, I will be the senior pastor for 6 months. So I've been here 6 months as your pastor, not very long. And, you know, people have gone, people have come, and it seems to be that way every time. Every time a pastor comes or goes, there's a change of people as well. Doesn't have to be, but seems like it. And we're not the same as we were 6 months ago, not just in who is here, but in what we are as an assembly of believers. It's different. Have you perceived it? I hope so. And I perceive that it's getting good. It's getting good. The fellowship is good. Everybody's, wow, and I just see you. Visitor comes, and everybody's, they're really kind. Not pummeling them, but really good about visiting with everybody. Hey, that's what we're supposed to be doing. And so praise the Lord. I'm excited about that. And I think people are using their gifts, and that's good. We don't know what the future holds. What does the future hold? Nobody knows. But whatever our direction is, that's going to largely determine our destination, right? Yeah, of course. If I walk this way long enough, I'll probably end up in Bangor, I think. But if I walk that way, I probably won't get to Bangor, right? So your direction is pretty important about what the future holds. And so it's going to be critical. It's critical that we're headed in the right direction. Even if we're just kind of in the right direction, it's not really good enough, right? We want to be in the right direction. And that we, both as individuals and collectively together, that we have the same desires, the same mindset. That's really important. And it all should be my desires and my mindset, right? Because I'm the pastor. No, not at all. And it shouldn't be Al's mind and his desires. It shouldn't be Sam's or Leroy's or anybody else's, right? It's the Lord. And that's what we need. We can't lose sight about that. This is all about the Lord. It needs to be His desires, it needs to be His mindset, His way of thinking that's going to lead us. And I need to say, you know, we are not conservative, and I will say this for myself and this church, as it has been for at least since I've been here and since Pastor Linville's been here. We're not conservative simply by preference. And that's important to say. We're not, and I say conservative by preference, but by conviction. We don't use these hymns simply because we're old-fashioned and we like it that way, but because we believe it honors the Lord. Not only the truth, but even the music itself. And by the way, I'll just say this. I'm learning more and more as I look at hymns I didn't know. There are some in there that we probably shouldn't be singing, okay? Not just music, but some of the philosophies built in there. But we choose what we sing because of conviction, not just because, well, we're going to be old-fashioned, because Grandpa did it that way. We don't dress as we do simply because we prefer this dress or because it makes us more spiritual in some way, but because we believe it represents the Lord, it pleases Him. See, and this is where we're at. This is who we are. This is who we've been, And this is who we need to be if we're not. We need to be who we are, not by preference simply, but by conviction as well. So where are we going? By now, we've been here I've been your pastor for 6 months as senior pastor. And by now, you probably have a sense in the direction we're headed. By God's grace, by His favor, and as a result of choice to submit to Him, I plan to be changing. Most people say, I'm not going to change. I am going to change. I want to change. And I hope you want to change too. I want to be changing, but in a particular direction, in a particular mindset that we've been talking about these past 6 months, about knowing the Lord, about representing the Lord. But I want to be changing. Don't get any mistake about it. So if you think it's bad now, hopefully it'll get better. But honestly, I want to know Him. And my mindset has been changing in just the past few years. I can look throughout my life how the Lord has changed me. And you can too, I'm sure. But it's really just, yes, to this idea of knowing Him, to know Him. I want to represent Him. I want to help others do the same. And this is what I want to be about, and this is what I desire us to be about. You know, why do we do what we do? This is one of those hard sayings, but hear it. The church must be about the Lord, not about people. Okay. Church is about the Lord, not about the people. Can you understand that? We conform to God, not conform to people. No doubt, a group of believers involves people, right? Of course. And you have to have people, and God wants us to help people. Sure, people are involved in all of that, but we're about the Lord. You say, tomatoes, tomatoes, potatoes, potatoes. It makes a difference. It makes a difference in your philosophy, like we were talking about earlier, in the way you think about things. Nope, this is about the Lord. So I'm going to choose to do this because of the Lord. And sometimes people use phrases like that. Well, we're about the Lord, and then they don't represent Him accurately. They're mean, they're harsh, and we don't care about people. That's, if you don't know the Lord, then they don't know the Lord, the people that don't love people, as we've looked at before. But we have to put the first thing first. It's about the Lord, not about people. I'm here not to please people, not to reach people even, primarily. I'm here for the Lord, primarily. That's it, the Lord. And if I'm here for the Lord, and we'll get to this, and I accurately represent Him, you will reach people. It will happen. But this assembly, this church, needs to be about knowing and representing the Lord, not simply reaching people. Because what are you reaching them with? Where are you leaving them? Where are you taking them? Well, be like me, because I'm okay. Is it enough that they're like me? I'll answer that for myself. No, don't be like me. You need to be like the Lord. How can I lead them to the Lord if I don't know the Lord? And how are they going to be attracted to the Lord if I'm attracting them to something that's not the Lord? The person, and this is important, the person of the Lord needs to guide us. The person of the Lord guides us. Wow, when you don't know the Lord, it's amazing. You don't have to have a command from Scripture. But when you realize this is the person and nature of God, all of a sudden, it changes the way I behave because I know the Lord and what he thinks. And it's so true. The person of the Lord guides us, not the culture, nor the desires of lost people, what they want, nor the desires of saved individuals, nor the ideas of men. They can't be our guidepost. It has to be the person and nature of the Lord to be our guidepost. And so we meet together. Now, oftentimes when we use this word church, we mean a lot of things by it. You say, I'm going to church. What does that mean? I'm going to this church building. I don't want us to think of it that way. We're an ecclesia. We are a church, yes, but we're individuals that gather together. And that's important. Don't lose sight of the individuality of us being together, like an assembly of people. So many people gather together. We are a church in that way. And when we come together, we want to edify. Sure. That is, represent the Lord to each other and sharpen each other's iron. We come to worship and praise the Lord together. Sure, of course we do that. By the way, this is not the place to do that. Where's the place to do that? sometimes we call this the house of worship. Where is that in Scripture? This isn't the temple. We worship everywhere. You ought to worship everywhere. I worship at my home. I worship in the car. I worship here, sure. I worship in my heart, wherever I'm at. And that's important to remember. Got to be careful about the building here, that we don't make this into some kind of sacred place, necessarily. It's a place where we meet. And where's the church? Where's Christ? In the building? He's in you. He's in you. Because you're the church. You and me, not the building. And that's important to remember. But we come to worship? Sure. We come to be instructed in the knowledge of the Lord? That's good. Sure. 2 Timothy 3:16. We'll get to Genesis. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us all Scripture. Sure, it's given by inspiration of God. It's profitable. It's useful for doctrine, reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So the man of God will be equipped. And he says this in verse chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And he's talking to a preacher. He's talking to Timothy. Preach the word, herald the word, herald it, bring it forth. And we could look at other places as well that talk about that. But here's something else that we need to remember. The assembly here, us gathering together, is not designed for the purpose of evangelism. That's not why we gather together, to evangelize. Though, if anyone were not a true believer, they ought to be confronted with the truth, whether that's generally or personally confronted. They should be, because the truth is here, of course. But that's not the purpose of the church when they meet, is to evangelize. but no doubt we should be evangelizing, sure. But that's not the purpose of our meeting. What is our great purpose? That's a good question. What is our great purpose? What should we be doing? What is it? Worship? Okay. You can mention a lot of things. Worship the Lord. Anything else? Learning. Yeah. Fellowship. Sure. That's good. To glorify God, we could say. That could be, you know, sanctification, someone could say. Evangelism. All these things are important, aren't they? But what's the most important one? Right? Like, well, you say all of them. Okay. Yeah. But how can all of them be the, you know, these are all true. To worship the Lord. All these things, glorify God, sanctification, evangelism, they are true, and we need to be doing these things, but they tend to emphasize a little bit on the doing aspect. This is what we do. You need to go make sure you're doing the right things, make sure you're telling people about the Lord, and make sure you're praising God. And no doubt, there are things we need to do. As we've studied, I tend to not focus on what we need to do here. I don't give propositions very often. But I firmly believe while there are things that we need to do and things we shouldn't do, the foundation is how we think. That's the foundation. That's how we think. And our great purpose, I believe, is found in the design of God, God's design for creating man in Genesis chapter 1. If you look at it in verse 26, and you can find it in other places too. And like I said, all of these things are right and true. Nothing wrong with that. But God made man. If you see that in verse 24, we'll back up. Genesis 1:24. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. That's important. And let him have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So, both man and woman, by the way, both of them, created in the image and likeness of God. The image. an image, it's a representation. Mankind is created as a representation of the Lord to all of creation. That's what man is, a representative. And there are other verses. I didn't put all these verses in that I could have because we've already talked about this not too long ago. But in 2 Peter chapter 1, he's writing, Peter says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God." Also, he says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises." Well, how do we get those exceeding great and precious promises? Well, before he says this, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness." So he's given us everything that pertains unto life and godliness. How? "Through the knowledge of him that called us to glory." Philippians chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God." So, I mentioned these verses and others. I believe our great purpose is to know, to represent the Lord. And the way to represent him is we have to know him. He talks about how we have all these things that pertain to life and godliness. How? It's through the knowledge of him. It's through the knowledge of him. How can I live a godly life if I don't know him? Well, obviously you can't. You have to know him as he's revealed himself. Not the pop culture Jesus, not whoever wrote their book about the Jesus, not that Jesus. The Lord, as he's revealed himself from Genesis to Revelation in Scripture, the Lord as he's revealed himself in creation. Remember, we looked at Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24, where he tells us the only valid form of self-praise is to know the Lord. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord. I exercise a judgment, loving kindness, that chesed in the earth. Why? Because he delights in those things. But the only valid form of self-praise, the only valid here, is to know the Lord. It's not the wisdom. And as a church, you think, it's not how smart we are as a church. It's not how much money we have. It's not how much ability we have. It's that we know the Lord. How can we know the Lord? What's the revelation of God? He's revealed himself through creation. And we should learn from him through creation. It tells us in the scriptures that creation speaks. Creation speaks. And so we should learn through creation. But also, he's revealed himself through written revelation, right? Right here. Right in the scriptures. If I want to know him, I need to know him and how he's expressed himself. And this is the revelation of God. He's revealed himself through scriptures. Do we believe that every word of God is pure? Do we believe that? Do we believe that there are no errors in scripture? Do we believe that every word is inspired? Do we believe that? Inspired by God. They're significant because they're the words chosen by God to communicate with man. Can I say this too? It's not a popular thing to say, but I need to say it because it's true, okay? God did not inspire the English translation, okay? These are not the words that God chose, okay? God chose some Hebrew words, some Aramaic words, some Greek words, but he didn't choose the English words. I'm not saying bad to have an English translation. No, it's good. But some people say this is the inspired word of God. It's a translation of the inspired word of God. It's important that you remember that because it's true. Now, and there, see, because we believe every word of God is pure, well, he gave them a certain way. So therefore, what he gave must be really important as well. The revelation of God is perfect. It's complete. And this is important. It could not be better said than it has been said. Do you believe that? That's something to ponder. It couldn't be better said. You say, well, I wouldn't have said it that way. Or, Lord, that's just too confusing. Or, I don't, you know, I would have wrote it in English and I would have written it this way. So we decide, no, It cannot be better said than the way the Lord said it. That's an important truth. He chose Hebrew because it accurately represents the mind of the Lord to us. That's why he chose Hebrew. He chose to write portions of Scripture in Aramaic because the content could not be better expressed in any other language. He chose Greek as well because that content could not be better expressed in any other language. Did God do it perfectly, or can we improve upon it? Does it really matter? Every word of God is pure, but we don't need the words he gave. No. Every word is important and inspired by God. Then also the syntax, that's the word order, that's also important. It could not be better expressed. It reveals a way of thinking. Oh, and that's critical if I want to think differently and I want to have the mind of the Lord. Okay, so you might say, well, I don't know Hebrew, I don't know Greek, and I don't know Aramaic. And I don't either, not really very well. No one knows everything. Okay, why am I telling you this? Why am I telling you this? Because it's true. It's true, and you need to think that way. I'm not saying we can't use this version. We should use it, and use it to the best of your ability. We should, but we can't let the fact that that's not convenient be a way of saying, that doesn't matter. Well, now we're saying the words don't matter. We're saying what God wrote doesn't matter. How God gave it doesn't matter. Wait, does it or does it not? Either it does or it doesn't. I mention that because this is, again, the way we think, the way we think, and it needs to be consistent. No one knows everything, but these are important. You say, I don't know the languages. And, you know, it's not really so much about what you know and what you don't know, because nobody knows everything, and everybody's way, way, way far from knowing much of anything, really, when you think of the big grand scheme of things. So the question is, and this is it. See, what I'm trying to do is spark in you a seeking to know the Lord accurately, the best of your ability. You say, I don't know all that. It's Greek to me. It's Hebrew to me. It's Aramaic to me. I'm not saying you need to go and learn that necessarily. I think some of you could, and if you have the ability, maybe you ought to really consider that. But some of you, hey, you don't need to learn it. But maybe you need to learn what this word is here that you don't understand. Why? You want to know the Lord accurately. I want to know him as he's revealed himself. And if I just read it and say, well, I don't know what that is, not important, I'll just go to something else that's more important that speaks to me, then you're the decider of what's good and bad, not God. No. He has already perfectly revealed himself. We decide we conform to him, or we say, Lord, you got to conform to me and my thinking. And if you don't see how wicked it is to tell the Lord that, that's not good. But that's critical. Critical. So we're talking about how we think. How we think about things. I want to know the Lord the best I can. And so you just study the best you can to know, why did he say it that way? Why did he give us a whole book of Leviticus? We don't do Levitical things anymore. Why did he preserve that for us? Why did he write the same thing in this book as he did in that book? Why did he do it this way? There's a reason. God's not arbitrary. There's a purpose. There's a design. And if you want to know, the Lord will teach you. You'll be learning. You will. If you seek, you will find. So, are we seeking to know the Lord accurately? That's it. That's it. And we've got to get after ourselves. At least I got to get after myself. Because you get lazy sometimes. You just kind of do your thing. And okay. But I want to not only to know him accurately, but to represent him accurately. And each of us, we need to know the Word of God. Know the Word of God. Like we said before, I don't have any special powers. The doctor that teaches in the seminary doesn't have any special spiritual powers that you don't have, because you have the same Spirit of God that can teach you. Here, what would be the effects? If we fulfilled this, if this was truly our great purpose, to know the Lord and to represent him accurately, if that was our purpose, to be his representatives, what would be the effect of that? What might happen if we were to represent the Lord accurately? Tell you what, you'll be sanctified, won't you? Of course. And we will evangelize, won't we? Your life will be evangelism. Why? Because what you do expresses the Lord. In everything, it would express the Lord. Not just in a superficial way either. Well, I went and told them, you know, I gave them a track and I knocked on their door and I gave them the gospel. Not just in that way, but it would be your whole life, wouldn't it? And you'd be seeking to accurately represent Him. Okay. This is my heart, my desire for myself and for you. As the Lord's showing me these things, you think, yeah, that's it. I need to know Him and I need to be like Him. And we all know that. But like we've talked about before, say if my great purpose was to worship Him, I could start thinking about trying to worship Him, and I can spend 2 hours in prayer worshiping the Lord and never open this book. I think we'd be missing something. Or I could spend my time evangelizing, and I'm telling people about Christ, but kind of like Apollos, maybe, only knowing so much and not really being able to effectively communicate the Lord if I knew Him better. Or I might be trying to be sanctified, and yet, if I don't know Him, how do I know how to live? I read this book, and they tell me how I should do this or that. Or I hope in each one of your hearts, you say, I'm going to be about the Lord. It's not about anything else. Everything's about the Lord. And we as a group, I hope we can do the same. It's not about us, not about anything else but the Lord. It's about the Lord. And that's my heart. I hope it's your heart. That's the direction I want to go. That's where we're headed. And you know, I'm not in any way perfect. You know, you think, well, those are high standards. You don't keep those standards. And I'll say, yeah, I don't. I fail. But that doesn't change the truth. Let's get back up, keep going, right? You're not very good at this. Well, why are you trying to make us do this? We're all in the same boat. We're all paddling together. We're all working on this together. It's about the Lord. And the Lord's growing each of us. And every one of us has some places we got to grow in. The Lord help us. And not only just help us to grow, but help us to have love with each other when there are areas that aren't being grown quite as fast as maybe others. Any thoughts or questions? I know it's a little kind of a different kind of talk. When I hear someone talk about these things, I feel like the disciples talking with the Lord, their heart burn within them, and they think, yes, that's it. That's it. And I hope it does in you too. I hope it does. Lord, I thank you so much for who you are, and thank you for everyone here today. And I feel very inadequate to be a pastor. And Lord, I did not ask for the job. I think you gave it in your time, according to your will. And Lord, you've put us all in these places. Maybe we didn't look for these places, but you've put us there. And we pray, Lord, we ask you now that you would help us to be the best, to be all that you've designed us to be, where you've put us, to be faithful to you, representatives. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.